Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today we turn our attention to the question, is the Bible really reliable? Can we trust the words and the teachings of the Holy Scriptures? Now, there's many opinions on that out there in our world. People have different opinions about the Bible. And in some ways, it's kind of a polarizing subject when you think about it. Either you believe the Bible is the Word of God or you don't. And we can try with empirical data and all those kinds of things to prove that the Bible is true. But I think the biggest example or biggest way that we can show that the Bible is true is the way that we live our lives. That's what really Jesus is saying to us in our gospel reading for today, isn't he? When he calls us to live as he lived for us. Because he says these words, "For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Let's take a look and see what some people think when they hear or ask the question, is the Bible reliable?
The Bible, for me, is a guidebook.
I think it's inspired by God, and I do think it's filled with inaccuracies.
And you'll see things in it remind you of yourself, and it'll make you really want to change. You realize that Bible might lie to you, but it's telling you the truth.
圣经制定了它是可信的。
It's just a storybook written by some people about some character.
There's plenty of things that even if you don't believe in God, there's plenty of things in the Bible that can improve your life.
I personally don't think everything should be taken literally.
The Bible? That's controversial. Thank you for asking.
The Bible is still here. This book is almost 2,000 years old. It still exists for some reason, and to me, that stands out. That means something. That it's not coincidence.
Well, Tony Barbaretti thought he was going to have a heart attack. As the owner and proprietor of a North Park, Illinois Italian eatery for the last 40 years, he couldn't believe his eyes as he was opening his mail. You see, he was sorting through a number of bills when he opened his water bill, only to discover the shocking number. He was told he owed $65,000. That's over 2 years worth of water and sewer for just 2 months. It just didn't make any sense. So after taking a few breaths, he decided it was time to start putting the pieces together. Was there a leak somewhere in his restaurant? Was the meter malfunctioning? Was it simply a mistake? And after some investigating of his own, he was more confused because there was no leak. He was told there was no malfunction in the meter and there was no mistake. But things just weren't adding up. So he made some calls to the powers that be and he was told he had to pay or his water would be shut off. Didn't seem real, didn't make sense, it just couldn't be true. Now, more than a few people, I believe, feel that way about the Bible these days. It doesn't seem real, it doesn't make sense, and it just couldn't be true. In fact, a few years ago, GQ magazine, and I must tell you, I don't read GQ magazine, as you can tell. They put out an article capturing that sentiment that the Bible isn't real. It was titled, 21 Books You Don't Have to Read. And you guessed it, the Bible was on the list. With this description, The Holy Bible is rated very highly by all the people who supposedly live by it, but who in actuality have not read it. Those who have read it know that there are some good parts, but overall, it's certainly not the finest thing that man has ever published. It is repetitive, self-contradictory, foolish, and at times even ill-intentioned. But let me tell you, as someone who has read the Bible, I've come to discover that the more you get into it, the more you read it, the more you study it, the more you live by it, the more you realize and come to understand how all the pieces do indeed come together. Come together in amazing and miraculous, life-changing ways. As the Bible reveals itself as not just another book, but as the very Word of God. Because we believe about the Bible, it matters. What we believe about the Bible determines so much, doesn't it? I mean, it determines the way that we view the world. It determines how we see God. It determines how we see our lives. It determines how we see our future. It actually determines how we live our lives. Are we going to live in the ways of this world that say hate and curse and get even? Or are we going to be people who are trusting and living in the ways of our God? Let's say love and pray for your enemy and forgive even the unforgivable. What we believe about the Bible determines so much. For if you think about it, in his word, we believe that God does the most amazing thing. That he comes to us, that he chooses us, that he calls us to follow him in the way of life, in the way of life, of love. And it is in the words and the pages of Scripture that God reveals his heart to us. Not a God of judgment or wrath or vengeance, but a God of grace, a God of love, a God in our midst who comes to us so that we can actually live out our lives in a whole new kind of way. That we can live by faith as we trust in the Word of God. For our God comes in his Word. And he comes, I guess you could say, in kind of mysterious ways, kind of mind-boggling ways. But he's with us. That's what's so powerful about the Scriptures. He's with us in the everydays of life, in the joys and in the sorrows, in real life, giving to us his good gifts. I mean, isn't that what we find in our gospel reading for today? Jesus comes empowering us to live like he lives. Jesus doesn't tell us to live this way because he didn't. He tells us to live this way because he did. And he calls us to follow him in this way of life as he reveals in the midst of that the truth that God is with us, that God reaches out in mercy, that God is powerful. And that's why, because God comes to us, we can be focusing ourselves on the big questions of life as we explore, investigate who this God of ours really is, as we ask the question today, you know, is the Bible reliable? But more than just explore that question, it's my prayer that we can begin to live it as we grasp a hold of the mystery, experiencing God's presence as he comes to us in his Word, so that we can be people who are living differently with a passion, with a purpose, living actually like God is with us. Because that's our mission. That's our calling. This is our purpose. To love. To love others as God has loved us. Because it's in God's love for us that we are the people who have been changed. We are different. We act differently. We live differently. We are differently. We can be people who love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us because we have experienced God's love in our lives. Because that's the way God loved us. And because He has loved us, we can love one another. We can share who this God of ours really is with our neighbors, even those who are sometimes a pain. We can share this love with this next generation, knowing and showing them that there's something so much more and so much better. And this happens. This happens as we are living lives that learn to trust in God's word, even when it doesn't always make sense. As we are putting the pieces together and living in the truth of God's word. So how many of you remember your first car? Oh yeah, their hands go up. You can probably tell me what year it was, what color it was, and how much it cost to purchase it. Most people were telling me, yeah, mine was a 53 convertible Dodge, and I bought it for $200, and it sat in a garage for 3 years from this old lady who had died, and then I got it. Yeah, it's crazy. People remember their first car. You know, it's a sign of growing up, a symbol of freedom, a bit of the American dream, and I'm sure some of you, you know, scrimped and saved so that you could get that first car. Or maybe you were content to drive your parents' station wagon, you know, the Vista Cruiser with the wood grain on the side. Or maybe you were like me and your first car was a hand-me-down. And there was a reason you were getting it, because it was probably old and probably ugly and probably falling apart. That is a sure description of my first car. It was a 1973 Opel Kadett. If you know anything about cars, you know ugly. That car was ugly. It was old and it was falling apart. So much so that the church where my dad worked at said, "You need to get a new car. You can't be parking that here at the church." And they actually were good enough to him and gave him money to buy a new car because it was so bad. But there it sat out on our driveway in front of our house. But here's the thing about that old Opel Kadett. It didn't look like much, but it was reliable. It was reliable. It would always start, even when it was cold. Minnesota winters, you know, and I'd go out and I would hope it wouldn't start so I wouldn't have to go to school, but sure enough, you know, it would start. And it would get me where I wanted to go, and it just kept going and going and going. And I think it finally just rusted away. I mean, I think it just, those salted roads up in Minnesota, it was just, one morning, it was just gone. It just, yeah. Now, some people may view the Bible in a similar way. It's old, it's irrelevant, and it's not much to look at. It's a book like any other book. But here's the thing: if you're willing to take the Bible for a ride, it will reveal a message that is different from anything that this world has to give. A message of reconciliation. I mean, you hear that story about Joseph and his brothers from the book of Genesis, and you go, wow, how does that happen? That's crazy that he would forgive his brothers. That's not me, you know? And yet, Joseph could say, wow, God knew what he was doing, even though it was not real great. God knew what he was doing for your good and for mine. It shares with us, the Bible, a message of hope. That's what Paul was saying. Yeah, this world that we're in, it's going to come to an end. But there's hope. There's hope beyond this world. The Bible gives us a message of life and a new way of living. That's what Jesus says. You really want to live? Then live like I live. Be a person who loves. Be a person who forgives. Be a person who gives to others in need. And you'll begin to start to experience life in a whole new way. You see, the Bible will take us on a ride as it reveals a message that's different from anything that this world has to give, as it empowers us to live a life like Jesus lived. Loving others as we have been loved, forgiving as we have been forgiving, being people who are generous to a fault. Believing that it is really the way to live as redeemed people. As we stand on the Word of God, knowing Roman numeral 1, that the Bible is reliable. As it has stood the test of time. I like the one guy in the video at the end where he says, it's been around for 2,000 years and it's still here, so boy, that says something to me. I mean, if it didn't matter, I don't think it would be here. The Bible is reliable. It stood the test of time. This collection of 66 books, 39 Old Testament, 27 New Testament books, written in different styles, some giving us history, some poetry, some prose, some apocalyptical kind of literature. Penned, written by 40 different authors over a span of 1,500 years. Bringing it all together, putting the pieces all together, telling the story of God's creation, the fall, redemption, and glory. Revealing this story to a people who need to hear it. As we face the reality day in and day out of living in a broken world, a world filled with pain, overflowing with betrayal, corrupted by death. And so God, our good God, comes to us in His Word, the Holy Scriptures, giving us what we need as point number one, the evidence reveals. The evidence reveals in its historical nature. I mean, the crazy thing about the Bible when you start to investigate it is that it lines up with history. This is not some fairy tale. It lines up with Roman and Greek and Jewish history. Look in their texts and you can see. They will tell you that these things happened that happened in the Bible. It lines up with archaeology. The things that they're pulling out of the ground are telling us that these things actually happened. There was a place and there was a person named David and he had a kingdom called Judah. I mean, these things are happening before our very eyes. And here's the thing about the Bible. It's accurate. It's accurate in its nature. When you start to investigate it, I mean, the New Testament was written in the lifetime. The first copies were written in the lifetime of the witnesses who would have been around for Jesus' death and resurrection. And you think if they would have said that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, that they would have said something. That if he did rise from the dead, they would say something. Well, no, he didn't. That's not true. But those earliest copies were written in the lifetime of those first witnesses. And there are many copies, many manuscripts, thousands and thousands of manuscripts that say the exact same thing, that are precise in their recollections, precise in their translations. But more than just that empirical data that you can go back and find, all of this connects the biblical story together of God's plan of salvation from beginning to end as it points to Jesus. This one who holds it all together as he reveals to us God's story, living it out in his words and in his actions. That's what this season of Epiphany is all about. The light of God shining in the darkness. Well, in Jesus, guess what? He lived it out, didn't he? He was the light in the darkness, ushering in God's kingdom, this kingdom of abundance and joy and peace, revealing to us the very heart of God as he loves those who reject him. as he forgives those who don't deserve it, as he turns the other cheek. That's what Jesus did for us. He took our sin. He paid the price. He died our death. But you see, Jesus is the living Word. For the grave could not hold him. And as a result, death cannot hold us. For as we put our trust in the promises of God's Word, we are made alive. As God's living breath is breathed into us. Now, I've seen it happen, and my guess is some of you have as well. Mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. It's amazing what can happen when someone is willing to breathe the breath of life into another. The one who is in need is helped. The one who is dead is made alive again. And it's crazy. It's crazy to see that happen. But today we witness it again. We witness it in our midst as God breathes the breath of life into us through His Word. Paul said it this way, all Scripture is God-breathed. And it is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, the Bible is not only reliable, the Bible, Roman numeral 2, is relevant. It's relevant. As we find answers to questions that we're looking for in all matters of life and living. For the Bible is the guide to our lives when it comes to our relationships, how I love, how I forgive, how I relate to others. It's a guide for my life when it comes to finding real wholeness within, contentment and freedom from my fears and my failures. The Bible is my guide for life when it comes to really changing me. As the Bible, point number one, as the Bible gives life. As it makes me a new and a different person, as it enlightens me, and as it fills me with that which is real and impactful and factual. As the Bible, point number two, as the Bible transforms us. To be people who are actually following in the way of Jesus. As we are people who love. As we are people who forgive. As we are people who live the abundant life that overflows to others. The Bible's God's gift to us. God's living, breathing Word that changes us as it gives life to us so that we can truly be people who are following Jesus together. Amen.